right now. We're looking for a now faith, praise God. And that's what I'm excited about, praise God. We've been off TV for 4 months. Glory to God. We owed Cox Cable $40,000, but God brought the money in. Now, it was a battle to get $40,000. I know some people ain't never seen $40,000 in their whole life. Well, we got to believe for $40,000 every month. Praise God. And now, you have to stretch your faith to believe God for $40,000. I mean, that's not welfare faith, praise God. But it was a time 20 years ago, I was on welfare, praise God. Give me a little $100 food stamp check, praise God. And I got tired of welfare checks. Hallelujah. I got tired of $60 worth of food stamps. Hallelujah. I said, no, I got to have me some money, praise God. I like to go shopping. I'm like a woman, man. I like to go buy some nice clothes, praise God. I can't buy no nice clothes on no $100 food stamp check. I can't even go to dinner good. I like to eat good. When I go out, I don't like to go to Burger King. Amen. I don't like to go to McDonald's. I want to go to a nice, fine restaurant and sit down and be served. Now, that's what faith will do for you. Faith will serve you like a servant, praise God. Faith is the servant of the believer. Faith, the Bible says, can move mountains. Faith, my Bible says, can open up the blind eyes. Faith, my Bible says, can take you from poverty into riches, praise God. Faith, my Bible says, can take you from sickness into health, praise God. My Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. You do not need evidence to have faith. The Bible said if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and removed, and the Bible said, and it shall obey you. Say that with me, and it shall obey you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know nobody obeys you because, based God, you have a poor mentality. When you have a mentality of being poor, and you've never had money, you never had the authority of money, you don't know how the privilege of having money and the privilege of having authority. There is a power in having money. Money gives you authority over people. Now, when you have authority, the Bible says, you shall say to this sycamore tree. Now, say, for instance, you had a big tree that was putting all kind of leaves and everything in your property, and you hired somebody to cut that tree down. Well, because you had money, and because you own that property, you could hire somebody to come into your yard and cut that tree down and to clean that situation up. That's what authority is. And it's the same kind of faith in this book. But you also have to keep the weeds out. One of the weeds is depression. Depression. Many of us, we get right there where God wants to bless us and just bless our socks off. But we get depressed. We get in strife. We want to start arguing. You know, because we get offended. We get impatient. I know one thing that I'm working on is impatience. I constantly plant seeds of patience because I get impatient real easy. Amen. Praise be to God. But I know where to go and get me some food, praise God. I know where to go get me some seed, too. This is a seed orchard, praise God. If you need some seed, go read the Bible. Amen. Some fell amongst thorns and they choked. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Some brought forth 30, some brought forth 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they came to 12 and asked him about this parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that sinners believe in God. Sinners trust God. Do you know that sinners know if they give money to churches or to the poor, or they'll get a return on their money? They know the principle of the law of giving. A lot of sinners know that there's a law of of networking. Networking. See, they have adopted these principles and they have applied them and they begin to work on their behalf in their life. See, these principles were given on this earth by God. Now, whoever taps into them are going to reap the benefits of them. Now, what can happen, though, I think many times, I was sharing with this young lady, I said, well, we get out of the will of God. And we begin to get stubborn. And what God began to show me is we got to watch that we don't get stubborn and that we seek God and we wait on the Lord and okay, because God, when you're sincere, will send people to help you. It's like a belt when you begin to lose weight. You know, once you was fat, right? And now you're losing weight, you need a belt. You got to hold your pants up. And that's how intercessors are. God will begin to send people to pray for you to keep your pants held up. Amen? Amen. And to keep you tightened. That's called the belt of truth. Now, you need truth in your life. See, the Bible says that God is not a God that he should lie. Many people have lied to you. They have told you, well, they're going to do something, and they have brought promises to you, and they're unreliable, and you cannot depend on them. But one thing I will tell you, you can depend on God. You can depend on God. Now, you cannot go and tell God that God's going to do something out of his law. God is a God of law. There's a law, the Bible says in Ecclesiastics, there's a time to plant, and there's a time to sow, and there's a time to reap. Now, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. If you're a walking in poverty, because you haven't sown. Now, another thing that you need to do when you sow, you need to learn how to beat off the birds off your sacrifice. And you need to also, the Bible says, find the priest of those days, and the Bible says, bring your gift. Now, go with me. I was praying in the presence of the Lord, and the Holy Ghost began to share with me Deuteronomy 26. And I know the Lord was speaking to me. I'm going to read something from chapter 8, but then we're going to go with me to Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you that ye shall surely perish. And the nations which the Lord, destroyeth before your face, for you, listen, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So go with me to Deuteronomy 26. Now, I've been teaching my little son, Abraham, and Brian, and Samuel about fishing. We're going to buy us a nice big yacht, and we're going to go fishing. We're going to take everybody fishing. I love the fish. Boy, I love sharks and marlin and all that great stuff, and lobsters, yow. I love fish and shrimps, yow. I ate so much shrimp one time, I got gout. My foot started hurting. Went to the doctor, and I said, doctor, what's wrong with me? He said, well, you got to stop eating shrimp. Shrimp? Yeah, shrimp gives you gout. Did you know that? Praise God. You can't eat too much rich food. That's called a rich man disease. My foot started hurting because I was eating too much shrimp. You believe that? Praise God. Oh, glory. That's why you need a balance. You need to have self-control. Amen. You got to have self-control in all the things you do. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Now, I want to go over this for a minute before I go back and read Mark chapter 4. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land, listen, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwelleth therein. Now, it's like having a wife. When God gives you a wife, you can possess her. When God gives you a husband, you can possess him, because you are one. God makes you one. So you have the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, you don't have power over your own body. You know what I'm saying? She don't have power over her body, and he doesn't have power over his own body, because you are one. Praise God. And thou shalt take of the first of the fruits of the earth, which the Lord bring into the land, that thou, Lord thy God, giveth thee. And the Lord shall say, put it into a basket, and shall go into a place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that thou shalt be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto my fathers for to give us. Now God swore that he would bless you, that he would provide for you, that he would meet every need for you, and that the Bible said sickness and disease would stay out of the midst of you. But you cannot break physical laws. You can't go eat ketchup and potato chips and ice cream every night. Your belly would blow up big as a house. Hallelujah. Now, that ice cream and ketchup sure tastes good. Hallelujah. I think we like ketchup on everything. Amen. And we sure like some ice cream in the midnights. Cool chocolate ice cream. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Chocolate ice cream. Little kid going, wow, yeah, give me some. You know, chocolate ice cream. Everybody know about chocolate ice cream. Or vanilla. Or strawberry. Oh, with strawberry on it. And whipped cream. Oh, Lord. But you don't see what it's doing to you. You feel that taste. And the taste of that ice cream makes you just go nuts. You could sit there for hours at Dairy Queen or Haagen-Dazs. Look, Abraham going nuts. Give me some ice cream! Watch. But you don't know what it's doing to your sugar. You don't know what it's doing to your diet. See, when you eat excessively ice cream and sweets and candy, number one, it kills your teeth. It kills your diet. It kills your sugar level. The Bible says it deals with your alkaline and your acid. But most people don't even understand the authority that sugar has. Sugar will kill you. There's a disease called sugar diabetes. But they don't put that in the commercial when they show you everybody on the beach eating ice cream. They don't tell you, now if you eat too much of this, you're going to die of sugar diabetes. They don't tell you that. They just tell you the wonderful good things about it. That's how the devil is. Glory to God. Amen. The devil ain't going to tell you the wages of sin is death. He's just going to tell you all the fun you're going to have. But he ain't going to tell you that he wants to kill you, to steal your inheritance, and send you into hell, and you'll be eternally without God. The Bible said God wished that no man perish, but that all men would have eternal life. Amen. Nope, you can't be a Catholic and be saved. The Bible says unless a man be born again. Hallelujah. No Buddhist, no Muslim. The Bible said unless a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's called religion. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Bible said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? The Bible said, no. The Bible said, unless a man be born of the water, the Bible said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do you baptize in the Spirit? The Holy Ghost comes in your heart. And the Holy Ghost begins to help you change from getting angry, change from disrespecting authority, obeying authority. It changes you from death, from a mentality and an attitude of death into an attitude of life, an attitude of obedience, an attitude of submission to authority, a reverence of the presence of God, of His holiness and His righteousness, a reverence and an awe of His splendor. When before you never even paid attention to God, now you are consciously aware that there is a presence that is greater than you called the Holy Ghost. And now you are submitting your will to Him. Hallelujah. Before you had a will to rebel and disrespect God and blaspheme and curse God and say damn and all these crazy things. And now you forgive me, Lord. You're so conscious of His presence. And that's what being born again is. When you are born again, you are cautious of sinning against God. You are willing to say, Lord, forgive me, quickly. Because you're consciously aware that His presence is right there. Glory to God. Like one day, Abraham, he did something today, and I just looked at him. He knew I was right there. He said, don't look at me, don't look, because he knew I was looking at him in a certain way. And that's how God looks at you. When you do something wrong, He just, you know when God is looking at you. You know when you have been rebelling against God. You know. You know what you're thinking in your heart. You know that you haven't obeyed God. That's what it says right here. And thou shalt go to the priest that thou shalt be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am coming to the country which the Lord sware unto my fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there a few, and became a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And God began to deal with me how Moses was a priest, and Moses was up in the Pharaoh's temple and Pharaoh's royal palace. And how Moses came down and went down into the mud with the slaves and began to experience the feelings of the slaves. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that I understand what it is to be a slave on drugs and alcohol and perversion, but how God set me free. And God can set you free tonight. When you have experienced what it is to be in bondage of alcohol, every day you got to drink a drink, every day you want to do some sin, and then Jesus Christ changes your life and also puts the fear of God in you, where you don't want to sin. You don't want to do wrong. You are waiting for God to make you whole. God can make you whole tonight. God can give you peace and joy. God is a God that healeth thee. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. God wants to give you peace. Peace, he said, I leave unto you, not as the world giveth. Don't try to have peace from the world. He said, but I give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, for in the world you shall have tribulation. Tribulation is depression. But the Bible says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The Lord, joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not just praising God. You have to declare that you have to decree like a king and a priest that you will have joy today. And that nothing is going to steal your joy. No money, no lack of money. See, don't let money measure the statue or the compliance of your mind having joy. A lot of people are very happy when they got money, but when they ain't got money, they get depressed. Lord, have mercy. What's wrong? I'm broke. Lord, I'm broke. I ain't got no money. You could always tell when they ain't got no money. Start frowning. That's when you should be the happiest. Because that's when God can increase your pocket. I remember I've been broke before. I've been so broke. I mean, broke. I've been living in Belmont Park. Glory to God, with a blanket like Linus, sucking my thumb. Glory to God. But Jesus set me free, praise God. And he set my feet a dancing. Glory to God. Glory to God. He set my feet a dancing. God is a good God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. It's very important that you understand that you have to speak. Amen. You have to speak. And when we cried unto the Lord our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our afflictions and our labor and our oppressions. And he brought forth us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now the word milk in the Arabic means, first of all, it means sincerity. That God will begin to communicate with you in a sincere way. So he won't be playing with you. He's going to begin to increase the value of his relationship with you. The word in the Greek, the word milk means to caress you, to like a child and a mother. When the child sucks the mother's breast, he feels security. He increases the faith of your security, where you don't feel insecure no more with God. See, a lot of people pray and read the Bible, they still feel inside insecure. They don't feel a connection like a baby feels with a parent, like a child feels with their mother. Praise God. It's very important. I notice the bond that my two boys have with their mother. That's something that God gave them by nature, by blood, it's in their heart. You can't take that away. That's what a child feels for the mother. The news said it, I think a month ago, that more children that are breastfed grow up to be more productive and more stable in life, because they felt the security and the and the comfort and the love from their mother's breast. There's a connection with God in the woman's breast. God gave it. It says that even in the book of Proverbs, that a man be satisfied with the wife of your own youth. That's why it says don't lust after another man's wife. Don't lust after another man's husband. Be satisfied with your own wife. Amen. And then God will begin. See, this comfort and the security in your marriage. There's a blessing. The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Begins to get strength. Begins to get serenity in that relationship. Because of that bond and that connection that God has blessed you with. When you are blessed with a marriage, you are blessed with a connection from God. See, God was married to his Son and to the Holy Spirit for eternity. And when anybody that steps into a marriage vow, steps into a supernatural connection that the Bible says will withdraw favor. The word favor in the Arabic means rulership. They obtain. See, people don't understand the depths of marriage. That's why the Bible said, he that finds a wife finds. Now, you can't find any kind of wife. Some folks go in the barn and pull their wife out and say, you will be my wife. Yeah, the Bible said it's better to be in a corner of a room with a crumb of bread than be in a house full of steak in a mansion with a brawling woman, too. You get a woman that like to talk and like to scream because you ain't got no money, she'll run you crazy. You ain't got no money, get out of here. She'll be worse than a pit bull. Praise God. But if you got a wife, she don't care how much money you got. She just want to comfort you. How you doing, honey? You doing all right? Oh, I just love you. You could be broken toothless. I just love you. Oh, something about when your honey buns tell you she love you. Love, the Bible said, covers a multitude of sin. And the word sin, the Greek means bad habits or bad appearances. Glory to God. We're talking about love. Love will move the mountains out of your life. Praise God. You don't need money. When you got a wife and a good husband, praise God, you can pray together and you can begin to work on that broken house and that torn up house and you can build something beautiful. It don't matter what it look like. Praise God. It's yours. Praise God. No matter how much you paid for it, it's yours. Hallelujah. And praise God, you can build something from nothing. That's why I thank God for this beautiful church. Amen. I'm going to buy me a $10 million church. Amen. No matter how many members I got. God said, go build it. Praise God. God told Noah to build the ark. Praise God. And only 8 souls were saved. Amen. So I got to be obedient. Praise God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And he brought forth us into this place and have given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which the Lord hath given me. Who gave them to you? The Lord gave them to you. You got up this morning and you went to work because the Lord gave you the health and strength. You didn't do it because you got up yourself and drank you a bucket of coffee. You got up because God let you wake up this morning. And you should give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. Who gave it to you? The Lord. And unto thine house, thou and thy Levite, and thy stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year was the year of tithing, and hast given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that thou may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hollow things out of thine house, and also have given them to the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, and according to all thy commandments which I have commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord thy God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, Brian, and JCN Television, and that the land that thou hast given us, a land that swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And this day the Lord thy God commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou hast therefore keep them to do all that thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord thy God this day, and to walk in his ways and to keep the statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto the voice. And the Lord avouched thee this to peculiar people as he has promised thee. And thou hast shouldest keep all the commandments and make thee high above all nations of the earth in praise, in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God as he has spoken. Now go back to Mark chapter 4. Now, when you get this tape number 44,000, number 4, Jesus, our strength. And when you get this tape, listen to it over and over, it's going to make sense to you. Go back with me in the name of Jesus, please, to Mark chapter 4. Now, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4, and on verse 14. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown among stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and hath no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? And there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now stay with me right there. I want to read something to you. So as I began to pray and seek God all day, I was asking God, I said, Lord, okay, I want you to tell me where we're at now. Where is San Diego now with God? And God began to help me. He said, now look up the word exchange. The level of motion, the level of intensity that you put with God to exchange his righteousness with your unrighteousness, that's the force and the law of truth and the law of royalty and the law of authority and the law of rulership you will operate on. Exchange, the giving or receiving of one thing in return for something else. Now, you have to give up your sin so God can make you righteous. And when you are made righteous, you have the authority to walk in righteousness. The word righteousness in the Greek means to partake of his royal armor. You have become an armor bearer. Now, if you are an armor bearer of righteousness, you should be walking in authority. But remember, the Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those that speak it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Bible said life and death is in the power of work. This thing can either make you or break you. That's why it's very important what you say. The Bible says in Mark, and we're going to go there in a minute, but I just want to put this there. He says in Mark, he said, Mark chapter 11, he said, verse 22, the Bible says, have the faith of God. Or have the God kind of faith, it says in the Amplified Bible. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Remember, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that speak it shall eat the fruit thereof. He shall believe what he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. So whatever you got right now in your life is what you've been saying. Uh-oh. You can't blame God. God ain't got nothing to do with it. Your husband you have, is that's what you said. You said, I do. Your wife you have, you said, I do. Your children you have, you said, I do. You had to go pick them up at the hospital. I remember when Brian came out, he looked like a rabbit. But I said, I do. That's my boy. That's my boy. He looked just like me, just skinny, looked like a bean pole. But that was my boy when he came out. I didn't say, wow. Praise God. Exchange. Now listen, unbelief. Someone who questions the truth. So you're either walking in faith in God or unbelief in God. It's either or. It doesn't matter what you say. And one day you're going to have to give account for your unbelief. Faithless, disloyal, having no religious faith, trust, confidence. The word faith is in the dictionary, trust, confidence, complete acceptance of a truth which cannot be demonstrated or proved by the process of logical thought. Meaning, you don't need any proof that God exists. You see, the guarantor is the Holy Spirit. The guarantor is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, once you accept the Holy Spirit, He will reveal Himself to you as El Shaddai, as more than enough. He will begin to bond with you through prayer, through worship, through studying of the Bible, through coming to church, through going out and witnessing to others. As you begin to testify, the Bible says you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So as you begin to testify about what Jesus did in your life, it begins to increase the law of faith, the trust and the reliance. The more you rely on God, the more you rely on His Word. You don't have to see what's going on. You know that you're trusting His Word. You've planted in Christ. You've accepted Him. And so you're growing in Him. And the Bible says, glory to God, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that speak it shall eat the fruit thereof. Glory to God. Power of God is all over this boy. He's ready to preach. I already know it. Glory to God. You know, he was telling me today, he said, Daddy, he said, when you go fishing, don't you need a net? And I said, I thought about that. I said, wow, I need a net. Amen. Glory to God. I got to look that up when I go home. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Faith, trust, confidence, complete acceptance of a truth which cannot be demonstrated or proved by the process of a logical thought. Rule, control by authority, the reign of a monarch, a code of regulations. Oh, stand right here. That's okay. I'll hug you. Setting faith, the discipline. You have to set your faith to be disciplined. A play or a sport. Every sport has a rule, okay? Everything God does has a rule to it. And if you play by the rules, you're going to get results. Group activities, boundaries, dominion, dominate. What will happen as you begin to play by the rules, you begin to walk in a law called dominion. And you begin to dominate areas people could never dominate because they procrastinated, so they went backwards. You went forward because you had esperanza and fe en esperanza, hallelujah. Glory to God. Diamo fe en esperanza, hallelujah. Love, faith, and hope, praise God. Hallelujah. Pretty soon I'm going to be able to preach in Spanish. Whoa, glory. I didn't feel like speaking Spanish all of a sudden. Glory to God. Hey, Shaka Tabahasi. Woo, call the gift of the word of knowledge. Dollar type languages. Fill me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Patience. Now, this one, no, I'm sorry. Resurrection. The word resurrection, the act of rising after death. Bring back into grace or youth. Some of you think you have no use or you're all washed up. But let me tell you something about the law of resurrection. When you sow in the word, in the rhema word of resurrection, it will bring you back from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this word, patience. Now, patience, the Bible says, possesses your soul. Patience must be an element or ingredient in your soup that you make, that you eat every day. Praise God. The capacity to put up with pain, troubles, I was telling you how Moses went through the mud with the slaves, difficulties, hardships, without complaint, to wait and persevere. Listen to the word apprehend. Anxious for expectation. You begin to expect the harvest. The harvest, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's my secret weapon, Brother Abraham. That's why I named him David Abraham. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a mighty man of God. He can jump over these chairs like a rabbit. Praise God. That boy got energy. Okay, brother, sit down. I'm going to tickle you. Glory to God. He want to preach with me. That's what he want to do. Glory to God. You can pray with me after I'm done, Abraham. We'll get up here and we'll pray. Okay, Abraham? We're going to pray together. See, now you ain't even thinking about me. Glory to God. You ain't even thinking about me, Abraham. We're going to pray together with the people after I'm done, all right? Cool? Okay, glory to God. He cool. All right. Apprehend. Listen to the word apprehend. Arouses expectations, listen, to arrest, to capture, to become aware of mental perception. Listen, law, actual enjoyment of property not founded on any title of ownership to affect so as to dominate, possess, to have a property, listen to this, to get control over an evil spirit. The Lord showed me the evil spirit that is tormenting people is death, confusion, death. It's tormenting us that we are not the inheritor of the power of the blessing. We have the power to bless. The Bible said blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. Get angry at somebody if they owe you money. You curse them in a minute. Blankety blank, blank, blankety blank, blank, blank. Glory to God. God had to teach me how that people could sue me, steal from me, and I had to bless them. But then I began to dominate in an area that they could never walk in. That was called loving your enemies. Loving people that persecute you, do all manner of evil against you, lie on you, rip you off. You still got to love them. That's hard to do. But when you sow in that area, when you put the word of God in that area in your heart, you can love people that take advantage of you. You can suffer. You can resist the devil and he will flee. You can resist being offended. You can resist being depressed and being angry. You can resist the devil. You can resist the suffering of giving up. You can resist it because you're walking in the love of God, and love never fails. The Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. But you got to resist it. And it's a suffering to resist cracking somebody in the head if they owe you money. Amen. You want to put a couple lumps of sugar. But you have to resist that thing. You have to come out of the soul realm and walk in the spirit of love. It's hard to do. But you can do it if you resist it. You can only do it if you resist it with the love of God. Glory to God. To enter into order, a territory under the political and economic control of another country. You see, that's what hell has done to America. The political powers of hell have brought America into the hellish bondage and to make us operate with a hellish mentality instead of a heavenly mentality. And this evil spirit, once one person gets free, he's trying to make everybody else free. But if they don't want to be free, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, the Bible said his righteous soul was vexed. But everybody else was doing lesbianism, homosexuality, doing all kind of things. Gambling and nobody had respect for their husband and their wife. And God, the Bible says, he heard about this thing. And the Bible says he sent an angel of God to go and inspect the perversion in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible said Abraham began to intercede for Lot. And he said, Lord, if there be 50 righteous and 40 righteous and 10, he got all the way down to 5 or 10 righteous. And God said, I'll save it. And so God sent an angel to go and inspect the city. And the Bible says when the angels of the living God got into the city, the Bible says that they must have been handsome men, you know, beautiful, you know, not like a regular man, but they must have looked very handsome and beautiful. So handsome, listen, that they were more desirable than two little virgin girls, because Lot said there were two homosexuals and banging on the door wanting these two handsome angelic men. They were angels, right? They just looked like regular men, but they were angels. Come from heaven. And these homosexuals were beating on the door and saying, Get us these people. And Lot said, hey, take my two virgin daughters. They said, we don't want them. We want them men. Because those demons saw those holy, pure men of God. Angelic spirits. And the Bible says that those angels told Lot, get out of that city. Now his wife, she was leaving the city, and she looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters left the city. And when they left the city, the Bible said that fire ran down from heaven. And the Bible says that when you look back at what happened, Abraham had to contend for the souls of Lot's family. Now, Abraham had a relationship with God. Before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't talk to Abraham. Because he had heard about the wickedness and the perversion in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he began to talk to Abraham. See, that's why a man of God has to be pure and holy. Because if you full of the devil and wickedness and perversion, just like the people, how God gonna talk to you to save the people? He can't do it. Because you wicked, they wicked, he's gonna burn up everybody. Amen. And the Bible said God will not destroy the world anymore with water, but he's gonna destroy it with fire. The Bible said the first heaven and the first earth is gonna fade away. Judgment is coming, glory to God. These are the last days. Hallelujah. We've had no peace in Jerusalem, no peace in Israel. Wars. The Bible said wars and rumor of wars. And the Bible said, but the end is not yet. These are called the beginning of sorrows. America has never experienced the sorrow that they have experienced like they experienced this last year. 5,000 people were killed in one day when those two jet airplanes hit those two twin towers. And could you imagine if the devil had liberty to hit every state like that? Could you imagine the sorrow of America? The country that has never been touched by another country. And here, two airplanes were slipped in because the people stopped praying. The people stopped seeking God. The people gave place. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. The Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, you know there's a lot of righteous people in New York, but here, it was a wide door that them two airplanes came and wiped those towers and killed a lot of people. A lot of precious souls died. And you look back on it, and September 9/11 is coming back. What's going to happen on 9/11 of September 2002? Are we ready for another attack from another foreign country? Has America woke up from their sin? Has America repented from their sin? Absolutely not. America was not even affected by that. In fact, millions and millions of dollars were raised for those poor families, and 80% of the money was stolen by those wicked, greedy people. Because it was all money and witchcraft and manipulation and on the deaths of those families. Because people have not understood the ramifications of being greedy and being wicked and being full of witchcraft. They have not understood the judgment of God. And we're going to see it. That's why the Bible said God is calling us to holiness. Look at the word possess. It means to become well and whole again. The word healer, to become well or whole again. Resist, to oppose as a physical force, chemical charge, mental influence, to oppose a physical force, suffering, to experience loss or damage. It all depends on how you look at the experience. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important when you're going through something, how you process your experience. A bad experience does not mean it's a bad experience. That's the way you perceive it. But if you allow that perception to possess you, it will eventually control your emotions. It will put you in bondage. But when you call on the name of Jesus and begin to seek God for wisdom, the Bible said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That you would know what is the hope of his calling, what is the exceeding riches of his grace, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to call on Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, you say, Pastor Brian, I hear the phones ringing, 619-296-1206. You say, Pastor Brian, I would like to know that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I went to church, but I backslid, and I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I want you to know that every Sunday we baptize people downstairs in the name of Jesus, according to Acts 2:38. And we tarry Sunday night for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Many people were touched on Sunday night from the songs and from the moving of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is your guarantor. The Holy Spirit will guarantee you that you will go to heaven. But you have to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You have to ask God to come in and possess you and to fill you with the precious Holy Ghost. Now, there's going to be a battle because your flesh does not want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But as you begin to fast and pray and begin to seek God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will begin to break yokes. The Bible said, this is a fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. God will begin to move the heavy burdens that have been tormenting you, that have been putting fear and putting you in bondage. He'll begin to bring joy and gladness and peace and good thoughts. You've been having bad dreams. God will begin to fill you with good dreams, dreams of joy, dreams of adoration, dreams of praise, dreams of worshiping God, dreams of being protected and enjoying life, you know. Life should not be a hard bondage. The Bible said God said he will not put on you more than you can bear. But some of it, God said you have to pass the test. Now, you're going to pass the test by faith. Now, sometimes we are perceiving something, we're perceiving a something on us that we're saying, Lord, this is too hard for us. And I was saying that the other day. I was dealing with something and I felt it was real hard. And God said to me, no, it's not. It's the way you're perceiving it. And I said, wow. And so I began to go back to the word. And I look up the word suffering. It said to experience loss or damage. Now, that could mean you're experiencing loss or damage according to the suffering. Not that the suffering is causing loss or damage, but that suffering is being damaged to a degree where it's fading away. It's not affecting you, you're affecting it. Your faith is affecting sorrow to a degree that it's being damaged, that the devil is losing ground in your perception, in the way you perceive things. So as I prayed right there, I said, wow. I said, something's changed. Because usually, I don't want to take it. I don't want to even walk in that type of mentality. And the Lord began to open up my eyes that things were really better than I thought. Things were even happier. And I began to say, you know, that's true. Wow. You know, when you begin to look at the good things, the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, dwell on things that are pure, that are good, that are lovely, that are of praise, that are of virtue. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, dwell on these things. That's what the word says. And so many people, they get depressed because they look at how much money they have. I do that a lot. You know, when I had $1 million in the bank, it didn't matter what come against me. I boasted with pride. I said, yeah, come against me. You know, but that was wrong because it was pride. And God does not dwell in an unclean temple of pride. And so God allowed me to see greed in my life. Greed. I didn't think I had greed. And God said, no, that's greed. And God began to show me that I couldn't be greedy. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. That's why people gamble and they play the lottery and all these things, because they're looking for a chance to win instead of wait on God. Instead of work for it, they want to go to Reno and all this other garbage and they want to gamble. And if gambling wasn't a big thing for people, you wouldn't see all them signs. Them signs cost $5,000 a crack. You wouldn't see all them guys on the billboards talking about come and gamble. Because a lot of folks take their paycheck and gamble. They'll throw all their money away. They'll divorce their wife and husband over gambling. Because people don't know how to work together. But that's what JCN is here to teach you. How to work as a family. We have to learn that we are a family. And then when you hurt, we hurt. When you're blessed, we're blessed. We're blessed when you call us and say, you know, thank you for that program. That really enriched my life. I was a little lonely. I turned you on and I got inspired again to read the Bible and to pray. I'm so thankful that you invited us into your home. Why don't you call us? We don't even know you're out there unless you call us or you write us at 619-296-1206 or 619-234-0050 or 619-239-9281. There are prayer counselors standing by to pray for you every night at 7 o'clock, prime time. Instead of us out at the ball game, we're going to be here to pray for you. That's what God calls us to do. We're not special people. We're just part of the body of Christ. We're just going to do our little part, praise God. And we want you to support us. We want you to be a part of what we're doing. Come down and volunteer and be a part. Or come down and be a part of our audience, our taped audience. We'd love to have you. Or remember to write at the JCN P.O. Box 85,000, San Diego, California, 92186. 5,000.
Hola, soy Lupe de JCN. Voy a hacer una entrevista con el apóstol Brian Thomason, líder de la compañía London Financial, para que él nos responda alguna de las dudas que nosotros tenemos a la hora de obtener una tarjeta de crédito que es válida alrededor del mundo. Western Union, how much does Western Union charges you to send the money to Mexico or to the place where you?
Okay, usually Western Union charges around $30.
Usualmente Western Union cobra $30. Uh-huh. The third question is, how can you start that credit? You know, how can you start that Space Boot credit card?
Well, basically, they come down to the office and they pay $650.
Usted viene a la oficina y usted paga $650.
And then they get a credit card with $500 cash.
Y agarra usted una tarjeta de crédito que es... Excuse me, how much, sir?
They get